On Monday, I leave for my annual retreat. I've actually been blessed over the last 4 years as a priest to take my retreat at this time of the year. Of course, every priest by church law is required to take a retreat every year. It's an annual observance. And I don't think I've longed for it as much as I have this year. Because around this time last year, I went on retreat and then came back, and it's been a long year. I know that I need it. I know my heart longs for it, for silence and to be with the Lord, much like Jesus went into the desert here at the beginning of his public ministry. I can really relate to Jesus today in the gospel and in this meditation of his going into the desert. But we might ask ourselves the question, well, why is this necessary? Why is an annual observance of a retreat or Lent so necessary for us? Why do we have to do this every year? And I would argue that going into the desert and taking time away every year in Lent or on some kind of annual retreat is done for the sake of relationship. That just like you and your earthly relationships, you have to take time away. You have to recharge and invest. And that takes effort. And so it takes an annual observance of Lent or an annual retreat for me and others to really refocus on the relationship. And then that relationship propels us into mission. It propels us to accomplish what we were created for. But we have to spend that time pulling away with the Lord and pulling away from the world. And I think it's a reminder too that we're not just a body. We're not just flesh and bones, but we're body and soul. And so just as I take care of my body in certain ways, so I have to take care of my soul in certain ways. And Lent helps us do that. It's a yearly reminder for us that we're body and soul. And in that way that we exist, God reaches out to us in a covenantal relationship. This is how God calls us, in covenant. That's the word used today in the first reading from Genesis and again in the Psalm. We hear about covenant. I think I've preached this before, but a covenant is different than a contract. God doesn't enter a contract with us. A contract is an exchange of goods. He enters a covenant with us. And in that covenant is an exchange of persons. We hear it from Noah today that God says to Noah and his family, "I am now establishing my covenant with you. I'm giving myself over to you, and I require you to give yourself over to me." He gives this sign of the rainbow as that symbol of the covenant. And then, of course, throughout the Old Testament, God would enter other covenants or renew covenants with his people, with David and Moses, with all of the patriarchs, leading all the way up, of course, to the new covenant that Jesus establishes in the New Testament. He's the fulfillment of all of those Old Testament covenants. And we can see hidden in the old covenants evidence of what Jesus would fulfill in the new. That's why we have this link today from Genesis of the Old Testament in our first reading to 1 Peter, a letter of the New Testament. There's a link here between these two readings. We hear about Noah in both readings. In Genesis, we hear about Noah's covenant with God. And then in 1 Peter, he references that. And he says that this covenant with God and Noah prefigured baptism. That baptism is our entrance into that new covenant with Jesus. And 1 Peter goes on and it says, baptism is not a removal of dirt from the body, although if there were dirt on my head and I were baptized, it would be removed. But the author here says, it's not just dirt from the body, but an appeal to God for a clear conscience. Again, it's body and soul. The sacraments of the church in this new covenant that we enjoy is spoken to us not just in our body, but in our soul. And so when we are baptized, it has deep, lasting effects on my soul. Even we see other imagery here linking us to the Old Testament, linking us to Noah. As it says, they were brought through water to be saved. And where were they saved? It was this structure, the ark. We can see that the structure of the church is that new ark, and we're saved through the waters of baptism. I pointed it out before, our church in the nave here where you're sitting kind of resembles an upside down boat. We're saved through baptism, through those waters here in the ark of the church. And so Lent is that annual observance, that annual reminder of how and when we were saved through baptism. We'll even have a second grader baptized this year at St. Jude's. He'll come into the church in the Easter season before he and his classmates will receive First Eucharist. And it's not just our parish, but of course parishes all over the world that welcome new members during this holy season of Lent. New sons and daughters are baptized through those waters. And so it's a good annual reminder for us that we walk with them. We renew our covenant as they enter into it for the first time through those waters of baptism. And of course, Jesus shows us this way. Here in the gospel where he's driven into the desert for 40 days, just like Noah and his family were in the ark for 40 days. If we turn back just a few verses in Mark's gospel, before Jesus goes into the desert, what does he do right before this? He's baptized. He goes into the waters of baptism with John the Baptist. And there are images here in Jesus' baptism that link us again with Noah and the ark. Jesus goes through those waters just like Noah and his family went through the flood. What comes down upon him from heaven but a dove? Just like the dove that came back and rested in the ark. And then Jesus hears that voice from heaven of God the Father saying, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased." The words of a father spoken to a son. Again, that lasting covenantal relationship, that exchange of persons, the Father and the Son. And so it's from this moment of Jesus' baptism that the Spirit drives him into the desert. And I spoke on Ash Wednesday, Jesus, of course, came to pick a fight. He came to pick a battle or go on a campaign against sin. And so after his baptism in the Jordan, this is what he starts. He goes to the desert and he's tempted by Satan and he does battle. He also fasts. He doesn't eat or drink for 40 days. He denies the pleasures of his flesh, which is a start of his own passion that will lead ultimately to the cross. But I think he does a third thing too. After he hears from heaven that he is the beloved Son of the Father and then goes into the desert, I think in the desert, he's also having a deeper communion with the Father, just like I would have on a retreat or a yearly observance of Lent. Jesus, in a certain way, is going into the desert in a place of isolation so that he can have greater communion with the Father. He even says in another gospel back to Satan when he's tempted to make loaves out of these stones, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. And so Jesus here in the desert is enjoying greater communion with the Father. And I think this is really the history of the church. We have so many men and women who have given us this example of going into the desert, of doing spiritual combat, of receiving a greater communion with the Father by removing themselves from the world. And so this is the campaign or the battle that we pick up this weekend as we start this holy season of Lent. We ask that the Father would strengthen that covenant with us, that he would renew it in us in a new way this year, that we would have greater communion with the Father. So we come in the presence of the Lord today, asking him to fill us and renew this covenant.